Hello, everybody. Yeah. Welcome, Rack Addicts After Hours time once again, episode 79. And the first time in how long? I don't know. But we're back in the pub. You might be able to hear. There are other people. Wait, hang on. I haven't got any beer left. Tom, take a drink.
Let's clink.
Let's have a... Look at that. Pub noises. What was that? Incredible. We're in the pub, our spiritual home. We're next to the shop. And most excitingly for me, it's my last day in music retail. But it's also the third time it's been my last time day in music retail. So we'll see if it's the last. But it's brilliant. We've got a new friendly face. Tom is here from the band Gatvol, local friends, and they have a new tune out, but we're gonna jump into that later, because we haven't had Andy on for a good while, so we've been missing that music production flavour.
I will try and bring some to
the
table.
Well, yeah, that's your jam. You like a bit of a drum recording. I certainly do, I believe.
Certainly do.
But we'll get back to that, because we always start with a weekly roundup-y thing. I did say we were going to abandon the format, potentially. Maybe we don't. Well, Pete's got notes.
Well, they're hardly notes.
Oh, he's got notes, though. He's unfolding some paper because he's had some exciting evolutions in the GAS, Gear Acquisition Syndrome department. Actually, I was messaging Akira the other day. They've noticed that the GAS is a bit out of control, Pete.
Really?
Yeah.
They're commenting on that.
Yeah, so why don't you start? What's on the shopping list now?
Well, last time we spoke, I was on a module a week.
Yeah.
One module a week.
Mm.
And last week I got three.
Oh, Pete.
So it's accelerating.
What's the damage? Break it to me.
Well, they were small modules, so that's my excuse. Smallish. Well, this one isn't.
That one definitely isn't, but yeah. Okay.
Last time I'd got the chainsaw, which is the...
Yes, and I heard it, and it was delicious.
But I needed something to shape the sound.
Mm.
So I got myself a Blue Lantern simple ADSR. And
why Blue Lantern, Pete? I tried.
I know.
I tried to stop you.
It did the job I was looking for.
That's fair enough.
It was the right colour scheme. It's got lovely little gold mushrooms on it.
Love it.
And it works a treat.
Excellent. Okay, that's one. That's an envelope generator. It does a looping thing, which was key for you.
Yes.
And it's black.
I had to obviously get a VCA to manipulate with
that.
Which
did you get?
So I got the Pico VCA.
Oh, Erica Synths.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And that works very well. There's virtually no controls on it whatsoever. Yeah. It's just ins and outs.
It's going to have all your offsets and stuff externally.
And the combination of the Blue Lantern and the VCA is really good.
Lovely stuff. But there's a big one.
Yes.
It's on your notes.
So I was needing of a performance mixer.
Yep, because your relationship with Bufaco isn't quite working out these days.
Well, I built the Bufaco Hex mix and it didn't quite work out. I've got the failing Channel 3, which I still haven't resolved. So I needed to do something. And I came across ST modules.
Yeah, ST modular.
And got the ST Sum 2, which is a kit. But I did buy it pre-built from a lovely gentleman in Basingstoke called Paul.
Excellent.
He had pre-built it and decided it was too complicated for his needs.
Right.
And promptly put it on eBay. I virtually bought it for the cost of the components, or that's what he was selling it for the cost of the components. So
not
he wasn't particularly making any profit out of it. It was very well built and fully calibrated.
Yeah.
So,
and it's tidy. It's got a colour scheme that will work with your case.
Yes, exactly.
Got all the stuffs.
So that has been integrated. There is still a few modules to go, but I'm getting close to the performance setup for the new system.
Indeed. What's left? Large modules. Any key features that need to be conquered at some point? But you haven't bought your drums yet?
No.
You haven't bought the drums.
So it would be and I'm still toying with which one to get, but it will be the Endorphins, either the Black Noir or the Pentacles.
Queen of Pentacles.
So
that's
that wrong.
The strange name that makes no sense at all.
I'm still leaning towards the Queen of Pentacles.
Yeah.
But it could, you know, knowing where I am, I could suddenly swerve to something else completely different. But yes, that will be shortly. That's quite a chunk.
Yeah. And still no sign of the old Arturia, the Polybrute.
That hasn't surfaced at all. It's been delayed. I'm not that worried, to be honest. It will arrive when it arrives.
We'll see it at some point.
Hopefully it'll be worth the wait.
Yes.
Well, you've been playing with them in the shop, so
I haven't even touched the one.
Have you not?
No, I've not even had a go on one.
And you decided to buy one
based on
not playing it?
Various demos on YouTube.
That one with all the reverb and the spacey stuff.
Yes. And also listening to what Mylar Melodies was saying about it.
Yeah,
He was suggesting it may be one of the greatest synths released in modern times.
Well, we'll see.
Yes, I certainly will once I've handed over all the the funds.
And all the cash, yeah. You're going to be selling something, probably, you reckon? Peak still needs to go, doesn't it?
Yeah, and the Melodicer needs to go.
Oh, yeah.
And I've
got
Akira
might be interested, actually.
MC-909 that has to go.
Yes.
Maybe a few other superfluous bits and bobs.
Yeah, got to get there eventually. Hello, Thomas.
Hello.
What have you been up to? Have you been up to anything fun that the listeners of our music and technology podcast might be interested in at all?
No, not really.
No, excellent.
To be totally honest with you.
Well, in that case, tell us about this new Gatvol tune.
So it's the second single we've released so far from our upcoming album.
Accompanying a quite snazzy video by your own Pablo.
Yes, thank you very much. So we've taken the full DIY approach. We've basically been not involved with anybody else. We've done it all ourselves. So we made the video, we produced it ourselves, we recorded it all ourselves. So it's been a long-winded task, but it's come out really well.
Yeah, it sounds great. Especially the floor tom. I did tell you about the floor tom earlier. It's juicy.
That's what we want, you know. Yeah. Big floor toms and nothing else.
Yeah.
But no, we're really pleased with how it's come out. We've had a great reception so far. And we're excited to really keep going, keep releasing some more stuff. This is definitely very different to everything else on the album. Every song is almost like a point in time, if you like, and the kind of stuff we were listening to at that point.
Yeah, well, you said a lot of this stuff actually came from quite a while ago.
Yep, so it's been the culmination of 2 or 3 years of work to get to this point, but now it's all kind of changed anyway. Our vocalist is no longer with us, so the person who recorded the vocals on the song isn't actually with us anymore. But
they are still alive, let's just make that point.
Yes, they're not dead. They've just decided to move on to other things. So we'll be moving ahead as a four-piece, so technically we're an instrumental band now. Mm. But we shall see what the future holds. We've got some stuff in the pipeline.
Nice one. Like the Beatles, but screaming, says George, another lovely colleague who's with us today. Can I dig into the recording and production process?
You certainly
namely
can.
Drums, because we know you love your drummy boys.
I certainly do.
When and how and who and why and what and with whom and how and next?
Yep, so
go for it.
It was recorded last February, so
okay.
February 2020, just before lockdown, probably 2 weeks or so before lockdown actually started.
Just got it in.
So very early on. But it was recorded in a studio locally called AJ Studios, which is out in the middle of nowhere.
Excellent.
It's a lovely room. It's like a loft. And
what are we talking? Rafters, barn?
Rafters, slanted ceiling.
Cool.
So it's a good sounding room anyway. You haven't got any parallel surfaces to it to sort of deal with. And a nice big room as well.
Yeah.
And lots of lovely outboard gear as well. Mm. So nice API preamps.
Delicious.
There's some Neve preamps, I believe, as well. So made the full use of that, all going into an Audient rig as well, and big fan of the Audient stuff.
Well, was it an Audient desk that you were going through?
Wasn't a desk, no. So it was the ASP 800 and 880, I believe.
Yeah, good priest.
With the 880, I think, being the one with the two channels of kind of extra flavour.
The two extra saturation-y ones.
Yeah,
yeah,
which I think I used on the overheads, because I want that extra flavour. But the drums were recorded by our drummer, a chap by the name of Tyler Higgins, who is a bit of a beast, it must be said.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
So we did the whole album, 9 songs in 2 days, which is grueling for anybody, for sure.
Yeah.
But he did a great job.
Keeps it budget-friendly 2 days as well.
It certainly does. That was the biggest the restraining factor, really, was the fact we couldn't afford to book it for any longer than that. But it came out well, and we're really stoked on the results. You know, I can't say we didn't use any samples. I'd be lying if I said we didn't. But that is.
But it is performed. That's what we want.
Exactly right. All the cymbals that you hear are real. Most of the snares you hear are real.
Most.
So there you go. That's
that floor tom that I love so much. Tell me.
That might be a sample.
Oh,
that might
what
be a sample. Oh no, heartbreaking. Heartbreaking.
Disappointment.
It depends really how hard Tyler decided to hit the floor tom on that particular point in the song.
Fair enough. You mentioned that's a single.
Yes.
Of single one or single two of two.
Single two so far.
Two of two. And the whole album's worth of material is good to go-ish?
It certainly is. So it's all finished.
Drums, at least. What about the guitars?
Everything else is done.
Cool.
So it's just the releasing now. So we're 2 songs in. We've got another one coming out next month, which I believe is our single Drowned. I hope I've got that right. Otherwise, the rest of the guys
words
will say
will
I'm
be
an
had,
idiot.
If not.
Absolutely. And then finally, I believe it's Three Nights, which is our other guitarist, Pablo's song that he brought to the band. So
it's not a play on Four Lights, the Periphery tune that we love.
It's not.
No.
But that is, of course, a great tune, as we know. That is a great tune. But yeah, it's lots of stuff to come. We're excited to get out and play some gigs again, hopefully, fingers crossed, in September, that sort of time. Mm. Hopefully we'll see some faces down there that we know.
Yeah, we'll give you a shout. We'll give you a shout out. If the gigs happen, because we can't wait either. There's some big bands that we all like as well.
Absolutely.
You keep nagging me about both Carnival and...
Don Broco. And
yes.
Maybe Meshuggah as well.
No, I don't care about Meshuggah.
Not too bothered about that.
but definitely the other ones. How are you feeling about the potential return of gigs? Because I don't trust the public. I don't want to be around a bunch of sweaty weirdos.
I also don't trust the public. But at the same time...
You need
I
music.
Love live music so much. There's nothing more cathartic than being, you know, at a good gig with loud music. Listening to lots of those live streams that I'm sure we've all seen of bands and artists that we like.
It's not quite the same.
It's more like listening to a very well done live recording, which is basically what it is. It's not quite the same as being there in the room, and that's what I really miss. That's what I'm looking forward to being able to see again and being able to do as well.
Yeah, fingers crossed. For soon, we hope.
Absolutely.
Must do my weekly update now. I'm free.
Yes.
From the shackles of retail. Potentially, this is my third time quitting. I do hope that the synthesizer juices will begin again. Akira and Pete have both noticed that modular is on the mind. I spend most of the day on modular grid, not actually working, I will have to say.
I can't possibly hear this.
No, of course, as my sort of manager-ish ex-manager, I swear I was working hard. I did something.
I didn't see anything that wasn't working hard.
But yeah, we've got videos coming out soon. Hopefully Digitact OS stuff. I will bring the Lyra along for some fun. More Behringer. Modular. I got to visit the Roland stuff now, actually, which is probably what I've been most impressed by from the.
When you say Roland,
releases.
You mean the Behringer?
Behringer flavoured. The flavored Roland flavoured Behringer, put
so
it that way around.
A copy of the System 100.
Yes, exactly. So there's the really boring 8-step sequencery thing, the really, well, great value synth voice, you know, the VCO, VCF, VCA, dual VCF, dual VCA. The great output module, the mixery thing. I'm sure there's something else. I can't remember it at all. Hopefully it'll be good. But we'll see. Speaking of the Behringer stuffs, they released another one. They've ripped off another one. IntelliGel have suffered. The Quad VCA, that's quite highly regarded as just a good module that you should probably have, has been ripped off. It's called the Behringer 4-Play, but F-O-U-R, not F-O-R-E. Great jokes.
What is your thoughts on the combined systems they're now doing? This system 15, isn't it? System.
I mean, it's a fine idea. I have now used the case for a few hours, and nothing weird happened. The difficulty is the way they've cloned all the Moog flavored modules is so faithful to the original, with the weirdness of the S and V trigs and the offset waveforms, that I don't know if I would actually even notice if the power was doing some strange stuff. And Tom has just made the old it's going over my head thing, and I do apologize because it's really nerdy and that's just how it happens sometimes. This is why we miss Andy and Telmo, because we just start ranting about Eurorack for the whole time, and it gets lots of the audience, I assume, enjoy it because they keep listening. But yeah, we do need to get some more. We need to get some more of Telmo's jazz up in here. And Andy's laughs. Oh, we miss it. But yeah, Behringer tends to be a common theme on these ones.
Only
so
because they're so prolific.
Prolific in a very bad way. Music Tribe do the outboards. You, as a studio man, you might go for some outboard potentially if you're recording stuff. Would you ever even consider something that falls under the Music Tribe umbrella, which now includes Aston? I know you like and own an Aston mic, but also Clark Technic.
Yes.
X32s.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on at the moment? Because you've experienced so much of this new stuff being available, not being available, being unreliable, cheap.
That's
what
the main issue.
What do you reckon?
It's the unreliability side of it. I think I saw some stuff with some of the Behringer, the Clark Technic units, I should say, being not quite internally what they're supposed to be. For example, the 76 not actually being very close to, say, an 1176 circuit. Regardless, I personally wouldn't use them. I would still choose plugins over the outboard gear that they're producing. For example, brands like Warm Audio, I've got one of their compressors. It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. But even then, I don't find a huge amount of use for it, because I find outboard gear to just be a bit of a different workflow to what I'm used to. I'm much more used to the digital side. Keep everything in the door. come out of the computer as minimally as possible.
Just to save headaches.
Save headaches, exactly. I find the problem is I change my thought process a little too often.
Right.
To fully commit to, say, that's the compression enough. That I'm doing. I would rather have the option open till the very end. But that being said, I do think some of the Clark Technic units are actually quite good for the money, considering that, you know, outboard gear is generally significantly more expensive than they're producing it at. But I definitely would also say you can't expect to get, you know, universal audio results from Clark Technic. But then again, you wouldn't be buying it for that, you know.
Yeah. Considering, well, the recent album, not recent album, the forthcoming album, you say it's quite run-and-gun homebrew. Mm. When you're in the studio, is that only for drums, just because of the practicality and, you know, guitars, bass, vocals all at home? Is that, that's the general
absolutely.
Workflow?
Absolutely.
So outboard at the studio, would you compress EQ on the way in, or are you just going to good preamps, deal with it later?
Good preamps, exactly. Yeah. The only time that I would use outboard gear in the studio is for things like room mics or parallel compression. If you have a particular unit that's got a particular flavour, for example, if there was a distressor there, which there wasn't,
parallel
sadly,
compression is all about the flavour, isn't it?
Exactly. And, you know, something like a distressor has a certain character that's very kind of likeable for things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't find that many pieces of kit quite do what I like for, say, that kind of thing, you know, room compression for room mics. So I generally just try to keep my options as open for as long as possible, because you never really know until you get into the mix, you know, what you'll actually need to do.
Yeah, and you say you might be a little bit more loosey-goosey on the genre, potentially, with this EP album. So there'll be a different vibe that you need to capture per song. How much variance do you have on this one? Because I suppose on this most recent one, whose name I can't remember.
Strange Happiness.
There's a little bit of a certain funk element to it, obviously prog metal as well. There's a certain intervals-y guitar virtuosic flavour in there as well. You're spanning a bit of ground. How far do you go in other directions?
So
a little bit of a sneak peek, potentially.
Yeah, absolutely. So the next single, if it is Drowned,
which band members will have words if it's not,
it is significantly heavier.
Right.
That's much more down the kind of metal line.
Yes, chonk.
The rest of the album just lies kind of in the middle. So this single, Strange Happiness, is the softest, kind of poppiest tune, shall we say. It's certainly the most commercial. And the rest of them kind of go progressively heavier from there. But it does depend on also your kind of approach to it as well, as to how different you'll find them. Because as we see some songs as, say, like a rock song, we see some songs as a metal song. So it's also how we see them as well. Sometimes we just view a song as commercial, as opposed to being, you know, like a heavy song or a riff song, for example.
You want this one to be a bit techier, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned a band earlier today that you said was quite an inspiration just in terms of the flexibility and style. Who was it? Because it's gone out of my brain. We were listening to them when we were... Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember.
Was it Between the Buried and Me?
It was.
Was it?
I think it might have been.
How do they influence your stuff? And is it just you? Is it everybody?
So that's definitely one of the interesting points. Yeah. So the way kind of Gapvol songs come together is... it will capture a point in time. Somebody will come to the rest of the band with an idea, and everybody will then build off that. So, for example, Strange Happiness, I wrote that kind of first techie riff, and then Pablo just ran with it and wrote basically an entire song just from that idea.
First techie riff being not the widdly bit in the intro that I remember.
That riff. Right. So I wrote, there's a harmony there. I wrote one of those bits, and then Pablo basically wrote the rest of the entire song. And then I just sort of came in and was like, nice, I'll do some guitar bits.
We'll finish
here and
it.
There.
Hooray.
Yeah, exactly. And then other songs... for example, I might come with an entire song and go, everybody learn this, put what on it, you know, put whatever you would like on it. It's your tune as well, but this is what I think we should do. And everybody will just build from there. And then other songs, they've just been workshopped to death, basically. Mainly myself and Tyler, the drummer, we'll sit down, we'll just jam ideas and kind of hone in how we think the section will flow. And that's a big thing for us. It's how do we get from one place to another, often in a kind of technical way that doesn't necessarily seem like it's technical. Like, how can we make a weird time signature feel palatable, for example, without making people go, that's obviously a weird time signature. So that's a big thing for us, just trying to make weirder concepts palatable.
Gotcha. With that stage, how much do you program drums? Do you have an electric kit that you might jam on? What's the situation there?
The entire album was demoed out and played on an electric kit before we ever got close to the studio.
Yeah. good idea.
I also program out parts whenever I write, and same with Pablo.
Yeah.
Because we also want to give our drummer an idea of what to play, because a lot of the time he'll get there and be like, I have no idea what you want me to do. I can go anywhere with this. So we like to give him a bit of a kind of push in the right direction. But aside from that, it is very much a free-for-all. If you want to do an idea and you think it's the best, you prove it and you do it. We're kind of a democracy in that way. If we all disagree that on a certain part, for example, then we might just shelve the entire song and go, we'll come back to this later on when we can actually agree on how we'd like to go forward with it.
I do have to warn you, for the end of the podcast, we do give our listeners a miscellaneous multimedia recommendation, because alliteration is hard. I recommended Witness, the Vola album, a while ago.
Absolutely.
We've digested it a while. Yeah. How are you feeling? I know we said earlier, second half potentially weaker.
Yeah, I would agree on that.
First three songs, absolutely massive.
Yeah.
What do you reckon about the rest of it? Highlights? Any bits that you would change? What do you reckon?
I think for me, Head Mounted Sideways is just such a Lorge tune, as you would say.
Lorge.
That for me is the pinnacle of that album in particular. I do like the previous Vola album a lot. In Mazes, I believe.
In Mazes. I only know the title track because that's also massive.
It certainly is. Yeah. Stray the Skies would probably be a good recommendation. That's also another Lorge tune.
Mm. Any releases on the horizon that you're excited for?
So George is just tapping on his chest.
He's absolutely going to plug his own band. He's looking so
Forward
happy.
Command will be releasing their first
Forward
single.
Forward Command.
Whenabouts?
23rd of this month.
So 23rd of this month. So that's my recommendation. What's the name of the song? So If I Fall Down by Forward Command.
Excellent, and we can find you on any streaming service that we want.
Absolutely, Ben. You're quite right there, he says to me, pointing my finger at me and doing an impression of somebody that I don't know, but
I'm doing
an impression of his. You're new from JML anyway. But more importantly, I'm sorry to say, George, because Tom is our guest on the podcast today, as well as you're here, but Gatvol, you can find them on streaming services as well, and also on YouTube. Go check out that new video cooked up by your own Pablo.
Yes.
Some really nice aerial shots there we were talking about earlier.
Yes. Big epic drone shots on the mountain.
It's pretty cool. We do like it. We were going to abandon the form and do a bit of rambling. It's the end of the podcast. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me on my last day in music retail. It's brilliant to have worked alongside you all. And while I am leaving the shop floor, I'll still probably be about, because videos are a thing, as
and
I said.
We will sell some Sims back to you, I'm sure.
Most probably. If you can still give me that sweet discount.
Oh, yes.
But it's miscellaneous multimedia recommendation time, and Pete's scrolling, and that's great because it gives Tom and I time to actually figure out what on earth we might recommend to our listeners. Pete, what have you got for us?
I'm still looking.
Oh, no. We've got to randomly talk about stuff while also typing messages to people and scrolling through the internet. Pete, I'm sure you can find something in the treasure troves
of
your
YouTube
subscription
list. I'm trying to find something that I haven't
already
recommended.
That's
the
difficulty. We've done so many things.
Episodes.
So many. Well, in that case, I'm going to open up YouTube and ramble while I'm stalling for time and staring at George's quite attractive McLaren hat. How have you kept it so fresh? It's very clean, which is quite surprising. It's been trying to keep it very fresh. Vanish Oxy Action. Some guy on the internet. Pete, have I recommended Corridor Digital?
I don't recall that one personally.
I'm going to chance it. This is going to be a YouTube one. Corridor Digital is a YouTube channel. They make visual effects-y related YouTube shorts, but they have a behind-the-scenes channel called Corridor Crew, and they have a series called Visual Effects Artists React. They also do a Stuntmen React thing. They're going to take old films, TV shows, and just analyze how the effects were done, including really old ones, really new ones, big stuff from the likes of Weta in New Zealand, or really exciting practical stuff from the days of film. They did a recent one, Ghostbusters 2. There is a scene in the courthouse, you might remember, potentially, where they use that, you know, the classic ghost trap, the little black box that they have, and they were using literally smoke and mirrors to do the stuff, which is pretty cool. But I do recommend checking it out if you just want to learn and laugh. This most recent episode, which I haven't seen, but there's a new one uploaded 2 hours ago as we record it. They're going through The Mummy, the original one. Some of the visual effects from that one should be a great time. Tom, you haven't been scrolling. Does that mean you're ready?
I certainly
go
am.
For it, because so you can't recommend Gatvol twice.
I can't, no. Right? So while we're on the subject,
we've already done Forward Command.
While
Come
we're on.
On
the subject of sort of software and visual effects.
Oh, hello. Yes.
There is a very cool piece of software that I have recently had a look into called Mandelbulb.
Ah, yes. That's a great one to shout out. Go for it.
Very, very interesting. So it's a way of rendering fractal images.
Mm.
And obviously, that's complicated. Fractals are certainly very complicated, but you've got a range
Maths.
Of algorithms.
Terrifying.
Exactly. And you've got a range of algorithms you can use, and you can basically build what look like very detailed 3D worlds. But of course, because it's fractal, you can keep zooming in and it keeps sort of developing. It's definitely worth a look.
So you've very been complex. Playing about with it. Have you made anything worth using? What, or
I
just enjoying playing with it?
I have no idea how to do anything cool with it.
You just press buttons and hope for the best.
Exactly.
That
exactly.
is a fun way of exploring it, though.
Exactly. It's a cool art medium, if you like. Mm. It's definitely cool for music videos, that kind of thing.
Can you do animations with it, or is it just stills?
So it's just stills. So I watched a guy whose name I cannot pronounce. I believe it's Julius Horsthouse, or
right.
Horsthouse, something like that. And it's basically rendered out one frame at a time. So obviously,
yep.
massive amount of work to do anything. But they look very, very cool. So
probably
it's definitely worth a look.
Incrementing one tiny value by 0.001. Render,
and then all of that then
frame.
Goes into Photoshop as well for him to tweak it further
oh, yeah.
before then compiling the whole thing into a video. So incredibly long-winded, but it looks amazing.
Those trippy infinite zoom type things that you'll see on the internet.
Exactly.
Nice one. Mandelbulb.
Mandelbulb.
It's a free program, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Yeah. Nice one. Good fun to play around with. I think I came across it ages ago when it was the least intuitive thing you could ever see and it made no sense and I couldn't
use it. It's not changed much.
Ah.
It's not changed much, but it's still very is, cool.
Has the UI updated beyond Windows 98 level?
Not much.
Ah, but it still works.
I think you can change the theme if you like.
Oh, wow. Dark themes.
Wow.
Incredible. Thank you. Pete, you found something?
Right, yes.
Yes, he has.
One of the subjects I'm relatively passionate about that we haven't really discussed that much on the podcast is my love of photography and cinematography.
Mm, that I think the thing. Only thing we've mentioned is when you were potentially going to get a certain slider-type device to get those layers of macro
yeah,
photography.
Sort of, yeah, the sort of
and that must have been
layers.
Way back, episode under 10.
Yes.
Mm.
So this is a YouTube channel.
Film-related or photography-related?
Well,
I only know
both,
in the
I
film
would imagine,
world.
Were film-related,
right.
mainly. So if anamorphic lenses are used a lot by J.J. Abrams and other directors, and it's where you get a lot of the lens flaring. You know, you get the lights and you get the streaking lens.
So and the squishy, is it bokeh?
Yeah, there's a very bokeh. Distinct bokeh.
Yeah, bokeh.
The bokeh has got a certain shape to it that people lust after. And the lenses, when you actually shoot the video, actually compress it into a, I don't know, it's a sort of square format and everything's, and then it's all sort of elongated. And you use processing to actually draw it out into the right scale. But by the process of drawing it out in the post-production, you get the lens flaring and streaking, which goes horizontally.
Almost like distorting a fisheye lens back
yeah,
to normal.
Yeah, it's used a lot in the latest Star Trek films you see. See it a lot and use it in several other films. I mean, I'm sure lots of other producers use it, but J.J. Abrams is one of the more notable users. Anyway, so the channel is called Anamorphic on a Budget. And this gentleman looks at all sorts of anamorphic lenses that are available, that some he picks up on eBay, some he finds in secondhand shops.
Yeah.
Generally just discusses how to utilise them, how to adapt them, because you know some of these lenses are quite old and they need to be adapted to modern cameras and that type of thing. So that's basically it.
Yeah. And
anamorphic on a budget.
I've heard modern sets of anamorphic lenses are horrifyingly expensive.
Yes. So you can buy them reasonably inexpensively and you can get various Chinese lenses that will do, because there's nothing overly complicated about the lenses.
You've got to get the right lens mount and hope it'll work.
Apparently so.
Yeah. Sounds great. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much. Not only for joining me on this episode of Rack Addicts After Hours, but for making the last 3 years, in Pete's case, and what, two-ish and something, of music retail. They've been an absolute pleasure. And I'll see you at some point. And I hope our listeners will tune in next time. George is waving. This guy's waving. Guy's waving. We'll catch you next time. Farewell.